Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
We need direction. The whole world needs direction.
Amen.
Sometimes we as Christians, our life may get dim. Sometimes we need direction. God takes us just as we are. Love and compassion. That's what God bestows upon us. Remember, He first loved us. Pray for us as we sing. God takes us just as we are.
Amen.
I was filthy. I was dirty. But His blood washed me white as snow.
Amen.
I don't always stay that way. Sometimes I have to go back and get washed again. But folks, I know what I'm going through. That's a great thing about Jesus Christ. Brother's going to preach on Man of Sorrows today. And that's what it took. So that we can have eternal life. We'll stand and sing. Hope at your prayer this morning. More about Jesus. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Bless the Lord at all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt His name together.
Let us exalt His name together.
All the people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. Offer.
Pretty well those questions as they answered and how that would determine what your gifts are. Everybody has a gift, whether you realize it or not.
Right.
I liked a lady one time said that, Pastor Bud, I don't have any gifts. And she told me about 10 minutes why she couldn't do this and couldn't do that. I said, oh, yes, you do. You got a gift of gab. Everybody has a gift. And it's important that you use it for the Lord. So grab your Bible this morning, if you would, turn with you to that of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And just leave your Bible open there for a while. We'll be mainly in Isaiah 53 and also in the book of Zechariah. There's a group of people today that feel that prophecy is history. A lot of people think today that what happened in 70 A.D., that's been fulfilled. In other words, there's no more judgment, there's no more things that's going to pertain to that of the little nation of Israel. I got news for them this morning. Israel today is God's time clock.
Yeah.
And folks, today we're living in a day and time. We hear so much about this little country. And when we think about that for a moment, really the book of Isaiah is mainly about that of the prophecy of this man, about that of the man of sorrow. I want you to notice one thing as we look at these passages of Scripture this morning. Everything you read in the book of Isaiah pertaining to that of Christ was in the past tense. But that was written some 712 years before Christ was ever born. So you think that this was something that God would use a man to write down and describe, a man of sorrow that would one day come into this world to pay that redemption price for your sins and for mine. But there's something else about that story in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is really a confession of the nation of Israel. So this morning, this is what I want you to be thinking about. This little tiny nation, the tiniest nation on the face of this earth. If you were looking at the screen in the back of me, you let that whole screen be that of the Middle East, and you take that black marker that's over on the left side of the screen, and down about two-thirds of the way, just let that represent that of the little nation of that of Israel. Israel is only about 260 miles in length, 60 miles at its widest. The nearest point is between 3 and 9 miles. They say you could take a high-powered rifle and fire a projectile across that of this country. If you're coming in from that of your left side and coming into Tel Aviv, if a plane does not turn around in 3 minutes, you're going to be passed all over on the other side into another country. This is how the little country of Israel. This country here would fit in the state of Florida 7 times. Fit into the state of California 19 times. If you took the little country of Israel and put it in that of the United States, you'd have 780 Israel. Yet this is a nation. This is a nation that God's Word tells us. God's not through with the nation of Israel.
Right.
And we're hearing so much today on the news about that of Israel. Folks, this is a time to be. We're seeing it's very well a possibility that God is around the corner. Because when we see that the nations of the world, when they turn against that of Israel, folks, we are near. Listen, when this happens, thank God, we're not going to be here. When this happens, we're going to be gone. You think about that, the persecution is coming upon that of the world. And so, as we think about this morning, here our country today has the nerve to say to this little country, you give up portions of your land to that of these Arabs in order that the Palestinians can have that of the state of their own. What about these other 22 Arab nations that surround them? That's got all kinds of room, but yet they want what Israel has got. When you say, preacher, is this something that is just happening? I think it's that in the divine plan of God. God is using Israel today to warn you and I that this is going to happen. And we're not like the group of people that says that prophecy is just history. This is something that is future. This is something that is going to take place one of these days. So in order that we think about this, today we don't have an embassy in that of Israel. Well, why don't we have it there? It's because we don't want to be offensive to that of the Arab nations around about. This is pitiful today, beloved. I think it's about time that we stand up and really take a stand and let our people know we believe and we support that this little nation of Israel. I think Bill Ritter, for years, I've heard him say, pray for the peace up that of Jerusalem.
Amen.
One of these days there will be peace, and that will be the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
When he rules and reigns. I ask you this question this morning. Are the Jews God's people today? They certainly are. You look what Paul said about him in Romans when he talked about God's not through with him. Said, God forbid, God's not through with him. God's still got a plan. Boy, why is the tribulation going to be? To bring judgment upon that of the nation of Israel. They're going to have a treaty for seven years, but yet the Antichrist is going to break it. And so there's going to be a lot of things that's going to take place. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I certainly do, because God's word says so.
Right.
God says that this is going to take place. And so the things that's going on here and around Jerusalem today, is that an indication that the coming of the Lord could be near?
Yeah.
I think it is. So there's a lot of people today that's in this world that are not ready to meet God.
Sure.
And folks, today we as a church, we need to be on fire for God. Yeah. We need to be busy, because there's a world around about us that's lost and died, and they're going to hell. Listen, God's judgment. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath.
That's right.
Why would he punish that of the nation of Israel? Because they rejected his son.
Mm-hmm.
Why will you die and go to hell if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because you rejected God's wonderful gift,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at here in the next event on God's timetable, beloved, is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
That's the next event that's coming.
Yeah.
And listen, beloved, God's using that of the nation of Israel to warn you and I to make ready, to get ready for this event. It's coming. It's around the corner, I believe. That's like the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 37. He says, alas, for that day is great, none other like it. And so we think about it, none is like it. And it talks about Jacob's trouble. Now, what was Jacob's name? Jacob turned into what?
Israel.
Israel is Jacob. And so we think about the day of Israel's trouble. And so another place we find in Matthew 27 and verse 25. Are we up there with me, Austin? All right. Don't be sitting up there sleeping. We don't want you doing nothing. All right. And then it says, after all the people have said, his blood be upon us and on our children. And that was the people that crucified that of the Lord. Look what they said. His blood will be upon us and upon that of our children. You remember when Jesus was, he was telling that of the ladies or the women, he said, the daughters of Jerusalem or Israel, said, don't be weeping for me, but save your tears for that of your children. But we know that in 70 AD, what happened to Israel? Israel again was captured. And there were the women and all the children, all the people were massacred, and many of them taken prisoners. And so this is something that happened. 70 AD happened in the past, and it's going to happen again. In other words, God's going to protect them in the end. And so we're seeing this is taking place today. So I'll take a portion of scripture today from that of the book of Isaiah 53. My key verse of scripture is down in verse number 3, where it says that Jesus was prophesied as a man of sorrow. The man of sorrow. And so as we look at this, this is an amazing passage of scripture. Now bear in mind, 712 years before Christ was ever born, the prophet Isaiah said these things about our Lord. And so when we look at these passages of scripture here and see these things, I thought about how long ago has that been? That's been 2728 years ago that this event took place. Now listen, our country is only what, 200 and some years old? Well, you see, we're the nation of Israel. That time span before Christ, that's over twice the age of this country that God prophesied this to the prophet Isaiah that this would happen. And so this is a scripture here this morning that can speak to our heart. And this prophet here gives detailed descriptions of how Christ would suffer. One would think, reading Isaiah 53, that the prophet Isaiah was there when they crucified Christ. Think about it. He described it right down to the letter. Isaiah 52, the last three verses in Isaiah 52 should be together with Isaiah 53. They all come together. He talked about that he had a vision more than it was marred so more than you and I would ever want to desire. Can you picture Christ hanging on that cross after he's suffered and been beaten, and that blood has been running down out of his face? Can you imagine what kind of picture that was? No, we don't want to look upon that, but that's what God did for you and I when he died on the cross. Years ago, when we had the Awanas here, the young people, the children, were to memorize Isaiah 53. I challenged that as the adult. Why don't we memorize Isaiah 53? And some did. But I wrote one just 2 or 3 days after we put this request out, some of the young people was able to stand right here at the front and quote those 12 verses. And they're beautiful verses of Scripture. You'll find in verses 1 and 3, it pictures that of his death. You find that it pictures his suffering. It pictures that of his life. It pictures that of his triumph. All of this in Isaiah 53, written so many hundreds of years ago. And what's it about? I think it's a picture. It will be the confession of that of the nation of Israel one of these days. There's many names and titles in that of the Bible and that of the Lord. Now, I was curious about this, of course, today in the technology that we have today. You can just about type anything in there and find out the answers to it. And so there's over 200 some names and titles to that of the Lord. I think about the name Advocate. Thank God he's interceding for you and I today. I think about he is the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's got all kinds of names, but out of all the names and titles in the Word of God, Isaiah the prophet is the only one that refers to him as a man of sorrow. So he was a man of sorrow. And so if we look at these scriptures here this morning, in this passage of scripture, look at that key verse in verse number 3, if you have your Bibles open there. And so this is a bottomless well of information this morning. And we look at these scriptures here. To understand it would be a challenge of a lifetime, but it's the gospel in the Old Testament. There are 66 books in the Bible, and pick 39 in the Old. The first 39 chapters in the book of Isaiah is a picture telling them about that of a prior captivity. In other words, you're going to go into captivity, Israel, and then the life from 40 through 66 is about that of their after they have been delivered from their captivity. But the Bible makes mention too that all the nations one day is going to come against that of this little country of Israel. And it scares me today when I hear people talk about that we are not concerned and should not be concerned about this little nation of that of Israel. And so it's a bottomless well. The more I search it, the deeper it goes. And so the Old Testament is full of promises from that of the Word of God pertaining, he talked to that of the patriarch, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and through that of the prophet. And he's promised them that he is a chosen, they are a chosen people. Zechariah 2:8, the Bible makes mention that they are the apple of his eye. He is the apple of his eye. Is God true with the nation of Israel? No. Read Isaiah, Romans 11 chapter, verses 1 through 2, 26 through 27. You'll find out that God is not true with this little nation of Israel. Paul says, God forbid. Paul says, I was a Jew, I was a son of Benjamin, and all in all. And he's making reference to it. God's not through with them. And one of these days, folks, the little nation of Israel is going to confess Christ as Savior and Lord. I think about that for a moment. I didn't say the United States, as much as the United States needs to get right with God and be saved. Listen, Israel is the only nation on the face of the earth that the scriptures say that in the end, they are going to repent and turn back to that of God. Amen. They're going to look upon the one who made pure. They're going to look upon the one who made wounded. They're going to look upon the one and realize that they have rejected the only hope that they have. Well, this is the thing that is future, folks. It could be closer than we realize. And so this is a passage of Scripture. The deeper it goes, the wider it gets, the higher it gets. And so as we look at it, I don't want to take all the time this morning to read all those 12 verses, but you just glance down at them in Isaiah 53 as we look at these passages of Scripture. Verses 1 through that 3 is about that of the beauty of Jesus Christ. And verses 4 through 5 is about his real pain. And verses 6 through 7 is about his payment. And verses 10b through 11a is his payment. And then verse 11 is his plan. Verse number 12 is his triumph. And so this is what this passage of Scripture is about. This chapter, to me, stands out as one of the greatest chapters in that of the Bible. I love chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. I love Psalm number 23. No doubt that I've shared that probably in more funerals than I've ever any other time. About that, as God has prepared a place for us. And we're not to be discouraged. We're to look up. And God is preparing a place for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again to see the other myself. Amen. Where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Hope that's future. The next event is that when we hear the sound of the Lord.
Amen.
With the sound of the trumpet. The Bible tells us that we're going to be snatched away. We're going to be called up. I used to think about, don't bury me in no concrete box. Don't put me in no steel coffin. Because when God calls me, I'll come out of there. Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. That's the first time I preached the rhythm Easter Sunday morning. I got to realize that God didn't move that rock to let Jesus out. He moved the rock to let people see him.
Yes.
And he came through that rock. He passed through the wall. He's there in the midst of the disciples. When they were up in the upper room, worried about what has happened. The Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, Joanna Christ is going to have a time explaining about where all those Christians go. Where did all those Christians go? And a Christ is going to have to explain that. Well, hallelujah. I told him, give me some time this morning. Don't put me up here hanging out on the bush for 20 minutes till. Thank God this evening. You remember, one man I'm disappointed in, I had it written here, I about crossed it out. I like what Dr. Ben Carson used to say as a matter of the truth then. You know, everything he started to say is a matter of the truth then. Well, I thought about the matter of the truth is, listen, folks, the truth is that this is a sad song. This is a song of remorse. This is a song of regret. This is a song of lament. And this chapter constitutes the greatest confession that will ever be made in the history of the world by one nation. What nation am I speaking about? I'm speaking about the nation of Israel that we hear so much about today. That little nation of Israel, so small, that yet the world is going to come against it. Listen, folks, the Bible tells us that one of these days that they're going to come marching through the Judah, through the countryside, toward that little city. But yet, the Bible says God's going to burn them down like you burn up hayfield. God's going to burn down those that's coming against them. That of the little nation of Israel. I remember a long time ago out there at Milligan Baptist Church, one time one of the preachers, Jack Hiles, or somebody talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Man, I got so excited about that. When he said that Russia has more horses than any other nation in the world. And I don't believe the horses that's mentioned in the Revelation is going to be literal four-legged animals. I believe, bless God, it'll be tanks, it'll be autos, it'll be that of Amtrak, it'll be other things that's going to come against us, this nation of Israel. You think about today, all this atomic weapons today, all these things that would be released, all the United States, when I was in the Marines, we used to sit and go through what we call ABC training, atomic, biological, and chemical warfare, and it shows all these movies and films about how they would turn mustard gas, how they'd turn nerve gas upon that of sheep, and how that they'd shake your head a couple of times and they're dead. Listen, folks, we've got stores and tons of that stuff is stored away. And listen, I believe in the end time, God may be using these things to bring about that of the cleansing of that of the earth. Well, if you like that, just stay with me for a little while, all right? Now, anybody that approaches God's got to come the same way that the Jews will have to come. They're going to have to repent of their sins and turn in faith to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the Jews now? Do they recognize Jesus? Why, no. They're like the Mormons and the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses. He's a good man. He may be a prophet, but yet they deny that he is the Son of God. One of these days, I'm here to say to you this morning, beloved, one of these days, Israel is going to repent and turn to God.
Amen.
Now here's the sad thing about it. The Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah that 2/3 of them are going to die. 2/3 of them, only 1/3 is going to be able to do that, folks. You think about that. If the world were to end today, and there's 7.4 billion people today, listen, the Bible tells us that one out of four is going to die. The Bible tells us that during the judgment that 1 out of 3 is going to die. So you put it all up together about half of the population of the world is going to die in the tribulation. Now, remember Jesus uses Matthew 24:25 to describe this event. Here he says that they were naked and nobody clothed them. They were hungry, nobody fed them. They were in prison and nobody had business. You know what that's speaking about? That's speaking about what they're going to go through during that 7 years after the church has departed and gone to be with the Lord. But, thank God, we're going to come back. The church is going to come back with the Lord one day. I like when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on a little donkey. One of these days, the Bible says he's going to come back on a great white charger. And the people of the world are going to see it. How is that possible? Well, we can see things that's happening in Israel today by that of this satellite system that they have. God's word says everybody's going to see the one whom they pierced. One of these days, that's going to be a glorious event. Amen. Say Tim. Tim, say amen back there. Oh, he's back there. I like this old boy. I'll keep what you say about it. I think he's all right. And, you know, there's a lot of folks today. Why doesn't Israel? In synagogues today, they'll never read Isaiah 53. Why? Because it's about Jesus. Now, I've studied about that all the way back in the 2nd century. The rabbis then said it's not a part of this tenet, first 5 books of the Bible. It's not a part of that, so they don't read it. And those who will read it, they say that this describes the suffering of Israel down through the years. No, this is not Israel that's described in Isaiah 53. It's the man of sorrows. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died for you, and the one who's coming again. Now, Israel today, like all others, need to recognize they need the Savior. They need to be forgiven. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:1, who will believe our report? Who will believe our report? I believe that all people will be standing one day and say, I didn't understand. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I should get saved. It's going to be too late then, folks. It will be too late. And so, this morning, you know, the Jews, they looked at Christ as being a king. They wanted to be a king and a ruler. They wanted to get out from under the control of the arm of the Romans, and they wanted that kind of a freedom. But they had never come to the point that they needed to ask God the forgiveness of their sin. So God will judge the nation of Israel. He'll continue to judge the nation of Israel. How has Israel been judged down through the years? God's chosen people. How have they been judged down through the years? For what purpose? For rejecting God and rejecting their Son. So at the Jews today, they must come to Christ the same way that you and I have to come. Every nation, every tongue, and every tribe, they have people today that are being saved, born into the family of God. So Isaiah comes along and prophesies this some 700 years before the birth of Christ. The first time that Israel failed and out of the hands of the Babylonians was back in 603 B.C. The next time was 597 B.C. And the final time was 586 B.C. Jerusalem has been under control of the Muslims in the past. And the great four, I believe, in the future will be that of the Muslim faith. And we see how it's today, how it's spreading faster than anything, out of fear. Now, if I told everybody this morning, unless you confess Christ, I'm going to shoot you when the service is over. I think some of you want to preach. I'll say, yeah, pull that off. I don't want that to happen. But yet today, listen, folks, where are you at today and what are you doing today? Are you on fire for God the way God would want you to be on fire? Are you serving God the way you ought to be serving? We've heard so much about the day where young people are not supporting the evening services or Wednesday night services. Listen, folks, it's important. Young people, can you simply hear and listen to that? You need to be in God's house on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Because listen, as Tim said, where's the church going to be 15 years from now? I tell you why young people and young children are not in church today is because their adults weren't in church.
Amen.
Their adults weren't, their mamas and daddies weren't in church. So they don't see any need of being in church. So what we have to do, we have to evangelize and get young people saved and get them in church, and then they'll teach their children to be in the house of God. Isaiah, in here, Isaiah 52, 13 through 15, God's speaking here in this passage of Scripture. And so this is going to happen, folks. One of these days, they'll be restored. And so God's going to put, they were organized as a nation in 48, but they are a political nation. They're not a spiritual nation. There's homosexuals and lesbians and gays and individual agnostics and people that disbelieve the Bible as much as they are in the United States. But yet they are a nation that God says they're my chosen people. One of these days they will return. One of these days, and that wasn't in May 48, one of these days they're going to gather again in that of the city of Jerusalem. So let me read a couple of verses here in Isaiah 52, 13 through 15. It says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his vision was so marked, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, he'll touch a lot of nations, and the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that they which had not heard shall they consider." Now that was prior to that of going into Isaiah 53. The last few verses of Isaiah 53, 11 through 12, in these passages of Scripture, he says, "He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, and therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, remember, one on the left and one on the right. He had his grave with that of the rich. He was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's grave." And so it fulfilled that of the prophecy to that of the letter. And now in the middle of Isaiah 53 here, we're seeing the confession of that of Israel. And so when this happens one day, when the nation of Israel will see that the one whom they pierced, the one whom they rejected, when they realize that, and they say, "Who has believed our report?" And then, who about that of the power of that of the arm of God? How are we going to turn away any longer? They're going to repent. They're going to come to Christ. That is the nation of that of Israel. Why don't they want to accept him now? It's because they don't believe he's the Messiah. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. And that's why they're going to fall to the Antichrist. They're going to think that the Antichrist is really bringing about peace. But no, he's not bringing about peace. He's bringing destruction and deception and starvation. Think about it. The world today is only about 2 years away from a terrible famine. Starvation, this can happen. We see it in California. Think about those places where it doesn't rain very often. I don't know how they're going to have to start pumping water out of the ocean and changing it into that, making fresh water. This is something that we're seeing happen all around. So here we find the future of Israel. One day, you say, "Preacher Bud, when this going to happen?" I can't tell you. I can only tell you what the Scripture says, but it could be very soon. You could be a generation of people that will never have to see death. If you're saved, one of these days you'll be snatched out, taken to be with the Father in heaven. Zechariah the prophet comes along some 500 years later, or in 500. We find here, this may be 150 years after that of the prophet Isaiah. Now some of the things that Isaiah says, he says they'll be reestablished. Look at Zechariah 12, verse number 1. It said, "The burden of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, has stretched forth the heaven, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within it." You see, the burden of the Lord is that concerning that of Israel. And it's the future. This is coming. this is coming from a good source. Now, what I say, it could be soon. The stage is being set today. If you want to see God's time clock, all you got to do is look toward Israel. Look toward Israel and see what's going to happen one of these glorious days. The Bible makes mention here also in Zechariah 12:3 that Israel's going to be a heavy stone. Anybody that picks up the stone is going to be bruised by it. Anybody that does that, beloved, they're going to be injured. And so if you tamper with Jerusalem, you're setting yourself up for a fall. And so today, beloved, when people today, they want to call this Isaac, they want to call it Alpha. You know why? Because the Muslims don't in Isaac as an Islamic state in that of Iraq. And so they don't want to refer to that. And, but yet there's those Arab nations that border and almost they touch that of Israel. And so that's one that they refer to as the Lebanon, L-A-B-A-N-T. That's why they call it that. So one of these days, Jesus is going to, Jerusalem is going to be, Israel is going to be a heavy stone. One of the places in the scripture, Zechariah 12:2, it talks about will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. A cup of trembling under the people round about. And they'll be in siege against Judah and against that of Jerusalem. So the Bible makes mention of Judah, they come through the countryside, and Jerusalem is the city. And so when this happens, you're going to find out what happens to them. And they're going to be gathered against that of Israel. And so I believe the United States could possibly be a part. If the Bible tells me it's all nations, then I think that's what it means. It's all nations are going to turn against that. Look down in Zechariah 12:6. He says, in that day I'll make the governor of Judah like a heart of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in the sheep. That's when God, they're using your Old Testament language to kind of tell us today what's going to happen, how that this is going to take place. And they shall divide all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. There are places in Jerusalem today that the Christians can't go. There are places in Jerusalem that they're forbidden because of that of the Muslim faith. Looking down at verse number 8, in that day shall the Lord, in Zechariah 12:8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. Folks, the Lord is going to defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Right.
His chosen people, the apple of his eye. Folks, he's speaking to you and I today. Listen, are we hearing that? Nations who turn against Israel. So when the enemies start to come, they're going to have to pass through the fire. And that's what it describes there. Look in verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that's feeble among them, all the nations shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. Folks, the Lord is going to defend them on these days. Down in verse number 9, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against that of Jerusalem. Who knows when this is going to be? I can't say. And be leery of those who will predict the time. But all I can say is look into the clock. Look into the clock, and that's Jerusalem. Folks, if the Lord were to come today to rapture you out, if he were to take your church out today, would you be left behind? Would you be left behind? If the Lord were to come today, Christians, as a Christian, would you be ashamed? Would you be ashamed at his coming? Not doing what he wants you to do. Not serving where he wants you to serve. And listen, folks, you love this church, you come to this church, why not be a part of this church?
Right.
It's important. Amen. Let your witness be a witness for the Lord. You're here this morning, and I'm looking at the faces. I don't know all of you, but I know a lot of you. But I don't know your heart. I don't know how you stand between yourself and God. I believe there's never a certain part of it that I ever attend and hear a preacher preach that something that he doesn't say to me that would speak to me. Listen, folks, are you on fire for God this morning? If you're lazy, and have no concern about the law, folks, you need to get right with God. You need to be faithful to God's house. You need to be supportive of everything that we affect. The only way that we're going to be a light in this community is to get this church on fire.
Right.
And folk will come to see us burn.
Right.
If they want that, they will. And so we are to be a light in this community. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where you are this morning, but I know God knows your heart. And I know God knows what your needs are. And listen, folks, do something for God this morning. You're here without a church hall, come down and say, preacher, Ken, my membership is elsewhere. I will be a part of this fellowship. Listen. You're here, you need to rededicate your life. We don't see people rededicate their life anymore. Is it necessary? Yes. We need to recommit our hearts and lives. It'd be good to see people come and say, preacher, just want to rededicate my life as Christian and new. I will serve you. I will be more faithful to God and trust you and trust one another. What is your decision this morning? Will it be one that will please God? Or will you go away like the Jews said, we didn't know who believed our report? Listen, you hear, listen. You hear and listen, but then obey. Whatever God tells you to do this morning, will you do it? Father, you know every heart, every man and woman sitting in this congregation. You know the needs of each person that is sitting here before us today. And I pray our Father that they will be obedient to that of the Word of God. I pray, our Father, that they have a need today that only the Lord can take care of at any time. Whatever those decisions are, we're going to praise you and thank you. Lord, help us to be aware of the fact that one of these days the Bible says that one third of this world is going to be destroyed. One third, one out of three, one out of four is going to be destroyed in the end time. Lord, there are many today that are our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our grandchildren, and things that we need to be concerned about. Lord, help us to have the faith to trust you and to follow you.
Yes.
And God will lead us. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Ken will be here at the front, and whatever your decisions are this morning, first of all, the doors of the church are open for you to come and be a part of our fellowship. Secondly, when you come and say, put your butt, I will recommit my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher Bud, whatever the Lord, I will be obedient. I will be obedient to the Lord this morning. Let's stand and do business for God. God will bless your heart.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.